be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope, church, not a dead hope, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Church, we have hope in Jesus. I don't know if you're here this morning and you feel like you have no hope. I encourage you just to tap into the one that provides all hope. Jeff said this a number of times. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. So let's seek him this morning. Can we do that? Pray with me. Father, I thank you, God, that we have hope in Christ. Lord, I thank you for the hope that you provided for Cliff Burfield when he gave your heart to Jesus 16 years ago. God, you are so faithful to provide hope. And Lord, if there's someone this morning that's struggling with hope, I just pray that you maybe just kind of just scooch up beside them and just let them feel your presence this morning. Oh, Father, it's just good to worship you. It's good to be in your house as your family. And so, Lord, I just pray that you be kind to us this morning. Just let us experience your presence. Let us experience your goodness. And, Father, we just want to worship you unhindered this morning, Lord. We just want to adore you unhindered. We just want to honor you this morning. We want to glorify you through what we do. Thank you for who you are. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Morning, church. This morning, I want to ask you to run a marathon of praise. It's not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. So stay with me. Get past yourself. Get past your flesh. Keep those hands going together, and let's worship God. Ready to push through?
Hail to the King. Hail to the King. Hail to the one who reigns in heaven for eternity. Hail to the King. Hail to the King. Lord, you came in time so the world could live. power, and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Won't you feel it? You can't lose it. There ain't nothing, no, ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. When the valley that I wander turns to mountains I can't climb. Oh, you're with me, never leave me. Oh, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been. And it's beautiful. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. Heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
Testimony. Amen. I want to sing Power in the Blood again. Sing it out. There's your victory. Here we go.
There is power, power.
Children, it is time to head off to Children's Church.
That is why we collect all these wonderful shoeboxes, and we pray over the shoeboxes. We pray for all the people that handle the shoeboxes, and especially we pray for the children that receive these shoeboxes. And we are just so thankful for your help.
Let us pray. Thanks for using Operation Christmas Child as a means for spreading the gospel worldwide. We pray for the hands that assembled these precious gifts, for all who ensure their safe delivery from beginning to end, from the packer to the receiver to the processors to the transportation to the ends of the world, to the children that will actually get the presents within their hands. Lord, we pray for these precious children around the world that receive them, and especially for those who are impacted by persecution. May these gifts bring joy and hope to these children, their families, and communities. May they all truly have an opportunity to receive Christ, and that many will commit their lives to the Savior. In this we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There is an offering that you can do online at our website, or text, or we have offering plates right here in the front.
So continuing on with our marathon of praise, don't be weary. I was telling Cody before church started, I said, man, Cody, I'm tired. And Cody said, Trevor, you just need to breathe. Just like when God breathed life into Adam, when we breathe, it's kind of like that's happening again, just breathing in the Holy Spirit. Just breathe in and take it all the way down into your diaphragm to where you feel your stomach get big. Just breathe it in. Don't miss your chance to commune with Jesus this morning.
Let faith arise.
Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. If you are our guest, we are especially glad that you're here. Hope you feel Christ's love in this place. I hope you feel His Spirit. I hope you feel the love of God's people. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It has a blue stripe and says guest. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love to know who you are. And I'll be at the end of the foyer, at the end of the service, and would love to meet you. Have a free gift for our guests as well. Also, if any of you are not on our email, or we have communicate a lot through email. We have an app. We have a website, wildandmethodist.org. And if you are not on any of that and would like to be, like especially on our email, you can jot that down. There's another card that says Get Connected. You can let us know how to get you added to that. So glad that you're here. Are you ready to worship? Yes. Ready to hear God's Word? Yes. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is where we are today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak in power and authority. And we pray that your words, your spirit, would have an impact on our hearts and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So the sermon series that we've been on, that we'll continue today, Identity in Christ, Identity in Christ. Now, we talked about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We talked about how we are chosen by God. We are forgiven by God. And today's message, you, everybody take, remember we've been wearing out this index finger. Take your index finger. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. How many of you walk around feeling like a temple of the Holy Spirit? We should. Because, well, we'll get into that in just a minute, but we should. I'm going to dive right in. We're going to just talk a little bit about being a temple of the Holy Spirit. So as a first point I want to make, as a Christ follower, you are a walking, talking, living temple of God. You are a walking, talking, living temple of God. So if you go back to the Old Testament and you begin to look, it's found in Exodus. Moses, God had freed his nation from the Egyptians, and they were in the desert. And you can find this like in Exodus 25. I think it goes through about chapter 32 or so. And God instructed Moses to build this portable tabernacle, and that God himself would dwell in this tabernacle. And they took it with them wherever they went, and they had the Ark of the Covenant in there, and he gave them very specific dimensions and specific instructions on how to build it and who was allowed in there. There was a priest that was designated that could go in, and he had to go through all sorts of rituals to even enter into the tabernacle, and he had to be purified with the blood from a sacrificed animal, and so on and so forth. And they took this tabernacle around with them. Well, there's one passage where Moses, when he's entering into the tabernacle, a cloud fell upon the tabernacle, and the people, it says the people just kind of stood back and watched this. They stood to their feet, and they just watched this in awe. And this cloud was symbolizing that God was present in this tabernacle, and that so God, quote, kind of God lived in the tabernacle, and they took it around with them as God's people. Then we jump forward to Solomon, Solomon was instructed. You can find this in 1 Kings chapter 6, where Solomon is instructed to build a permanent temple. No longer this temple, that this tabernacle that would be carried around with them, but to build this temple, and that God would reside in this temple. And again, he gave very specific instructions, and God resided in this temple. And when they dedicated the temple, a cloud filled the temple, designating and showing the presence of God. Flipping all the way forward to Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit to come, and in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit descended upon the people with tongues of fire, symbolizing God himself through his Spirit came. And so God no longer lives in this tent or this magnificent temple. Take your finger again. Where does he live? He lives right here. God lives in you. You are his temple. Hello, is this on? You are his temple. God no longer is just kind of with us, and we no longer have to have this high priest that's designated and goes through all these rituals to enter into the Holy of Holies to be in the presence of God, because God lives in us. Listen to Jesus' words, John 14. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. 1 Corinthians 3, a few chapters before our text today. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? It's in the Word. And we should, as believers, we should have experienced the Spirit of God living inside of us. I'll talk about that more in just a little bit. Hebrews, if you want to learn more about the temple and how Jesus came and what all that he did, read Hebrews. Read Hebrews. It's all in there. But Hebrews chapter 10, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open to us through the curtain that is his body. Now, so what that passage in Hebrews is alluding to, the priests back in the Old Testament when we had the tabernacle or Solomon's temple, the priests would be purified, and they'd sacrifice an animal, and they'd sprinkle blood everywhere. And he would. There was a curtain dividing the Holy of Holies where they would pass through. Only the priest that had gone through all this consecration could enter in. They would enter in through the curtain into this Holy of Holies, and they would be in the presence of God. Jesus, what happened when Jesus was crucified? When he died on the cross, the curtain ripped in the temple. That's significant. A lot of people kind of, well, what's that all about? Why is it telling us about it? Because that's symbolic of the curtain ripping, that we now, through Christ, through the blood of Christ, we now have access to the Father. Amen. Hebrews 10 that we just read, we have confidence to enter the most holy place because of all these animals that have been sacrificed. No, by the blood of Jesus. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And by a new and living way, he's opened for us through the curtain that is his body, the body of Christ. As he died our death, that curtain was ripped, and it gave us access to the Father. You are now the temple of God. Is anybody besides me think that's pretty cool? That God himself has chosen to come and dwell inside of us. And then finally, as a Christ follower, you are filled with gifts and power. Romans 12, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If you don't think that you have a giftedness, if you are in Christ, if you don't think you have giftedness, you're wrong. And I would say this, I know Some people, they may due to being elderly or being sick or whatever, they may be bedridden or whatever, and it's like, oh, I can't do anything for the Lord. You can pray. You can pray. You can encourage. I can't even tell you how many times people that I go to see thinking that I'm going to try to be a blessing to them, and they end up encouraging and blessing me. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Now, I love this passage, Luke 24. Jesus said, I'm going to send you what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been what? Clothed with what?
Power.
I don't know about anybody else besides me, but sometimes, man, I just need the power of the Holy Spirit just to make it through another day. Make it through a moment sometimes. I want you to just envision, close your eyes and just envision this, that the Spirit of God, that God comes and just, He just wraps this robe around your shoulders. He just lays it across your shoulders, and you are now clothed with power from on high. Now, well, what are we, so if we are now the temple of God, and we are clothed with power on high, what does all that mean? What do we do with that? Is it just so that we can make it through another day? I think not. If you, in your bulletin, there should be a sermon note. There should be a handout for the shoebox thing. There should be some sermon notes. And there should be a page that says characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to, most of us can read. I'm not going to go open up all these scriptures and read these to you, because I've given you these to reference. But let's just talk a little bit about what happens with the Spirit, who the Spirit is, and how He empowers us. The Spirit is God, number one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's God. People have tried to define the Trinity and tried to, come to grips with that, but really, I think God is just beyond our ability to fully understand, because He's God. Jesus was conceived by the Spirit. He received the Spirit as He's going into His ministry. He's empowered and led by the Spirit. He endured and was empowered on the cross by the Holy Spirit. He was resurrected through the power of the Holy Spirit. When He ascended, He sent the Holy Spirit that came down at Pentecost, and you can see there. I'm just scratching the surface. You can't fully define the Spirit, but He lives in you. There's that passage, and you can go through that. It's His mark, His seal on us, His deposit upon us. Let's look at the back page. Now this is where it really gets into what we receive. Through the Spirit, provides us with peace. I've had this, and I've talked about this before. But when there's chaos, and you just feel the peace of the Spirit, that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. He provides us with peace in the midst. I was talking to somebody this morning, and I won't tell the whole story, but basically they were talking about a friend of theirs whose husband had passed away and then didn't come out of their house for 6 months. And when they talked to this lady, that they said, well, at least you will see him again. And said, I don't believe that. My response to that is, that's why she didn't come out of her house for 6 months, because she had no hope. We have hope through Christ. He provides us peace when there's chaos, when things are not going well. He provides us power. He provides truth. And do we need truth in this world? I mean, and I said this in the early service, we can't expect those that don't have Christ, that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, we can't expect them to speak in truth. I mean, we just can't, because they don't have the Spirit of truth in them. But we do. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're filled with His Spirit, we have truth. The world needs it. He's our counselor. He convicts us of sin. He He's our teacher. He provides encouragement and growth. He helps us in our weakness. He intercedes for us to the Father. And to my recollection, for 19 years that I've been pastor, every time I prepare a sermon, I always am praying this same basic prayer: is Holy Spirit, intercede from me to the Father and the Father to me. Make my heart His heart. Make my mind His mind. Make my words His words. Because I don't want to, and I don't think y'all want to hear from me. I'm really not that exciting. I don't know. But we do need to hear from God. And hopefully I am His messenger at times. But He intercedes for us to the Father. He gives us gifts. He matures us and sanctifies us. He brings glory to God. The Holy Spirit builds up the church. And lastly, the last one on there, the first thing I would tell you about the Holy Spirit that you can tell when you're filled with the Holy Spirit is you should have a peace about your future. You should have a peace about what happens when you die. If you don't, and this is not shaming you at all, I want you to have that. And I know there'll be a day when I will have to put my money where my mouth is, but I honestly just feel like I'm just not afraid of dying. It's not because I'm a great guy, a good old boy. It's because I know what Jesus did for me. And I know that He has prepared a place for me. And I know when I leave this earth, it's going to be better. And so I have, I made reference to this, and Billy did earlier, that the Holy Spirit communicates to our spirit that we belong to Him and all that encompasses. So if you don't have that assurance, I would read Luke 11:13, and here's what it basically says, that God is a good Father. Don't you love that song too? God is a good Father, and good fathers know how to give good gifts. So if you don't have the Spirit, ask Him, because He wants you to be filled with the Spirit. So He says, ask. So if you don't feel that peace and you don't have what I'm talking about, ask Him, because He wants you to have it. He doesn't want you to be afraid of the future. Here's what I encourage you to do with this handout. Like I said, I don't have time to go over all these scriptures. And this isn't even close to all that we can learn about the Holy Spirit. But it's a good start. I encourage you this week to open up every one of these scriptures and just read. Read what the Scripture has to say about the Spirit and about Him filling you. So, you are a walking, talking, living temple of God, filled with gifts and power. Why? Why? That leads me to the last point here. As a Christ follower, you are called to bring glory to God. You're called to bring glory to God. That's your purpose in life. If you've been wondering what my purpose in life is, that's it. That looks different for each one of us. God's wired us differently. He's put us in different circumstances with different relationships and all that. But ultimately, our life should be bringing glory to God, especially if we're filled with His Spirit. This passage we read today: do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Therefore, remember what therefore. Honor God with your body. Honor God with your body. Now, I didn't say this in the early service. I feel led to say it in this service. If you go back and read the therefore, if you go back and read before this passage today, before the verse 19 of this 1 Corinthians 6, it's talking about sexual sin. That's what led to this conversation. He's talking about sexual sin and how if the Holy Spirit is living inside of us and we're doing inappropriate things with our body, that's a direct assault upon the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to sin in general, but he's saying, man, if the Holy Spirit's living in you and you're doing inappropriate things with your body, that's not good. If your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, it says, who's in you, therefore honor God with your body. And so I would say that's even broader than just bringing glory to God, but it's also honoring this temple that where God is living in. Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, I want to set that up for just a second. Jesus is, he has gone to the cross, he's been resurrected, and he's preparing to ascend back into heaven. And the disciples, understandably so, the disciples are sad. And he's telling them, I'm going to ascend back to the Father. And I can just imagine them saying, don't go. Don't go. Stay with us. But he says, it's for your good. It's important, and it's for your good that I go. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. For what purpose? And you will be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. He dwells inside of us, and we receive power so that we can be his witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, I believe Abilene is in that radius. I think we're in there. We're somewhere before the ends of the earth. You will receive power, and you will be my witnesses. That's the call upon our life from the Lord. What a humbling and wonderful thing to know that we are walking, talking, living temples of the Most High God. Yes? I encourage you, we're going to have an opportunity to take Holy Communion. It's going to be on the screen as well, but there also, if you want to follow along in your hymnal, it's page 12 of your hymnal. Does everyone have a communion? If you do not have a little communion set, raise your hand, keep it up, we're going to bring it to you. Billy, you might want to get some help. We got a few out there. Just keep your hand up until you get one, and then you can lower it. We got several over here, all through here. Robert, yeah, you missed one. Keep your hands up until you get it. They're coming to you. Everybody over here, we got some more coming over here. Brent, can you take your basket over there? He's running low. All right, everybody got one? Last call. All right, I think we got everybody. So as we enter into this time of the Lord's Supper, you know, it's through this meal that curtain was torn, giving us access to the Father. I want you to kind of have that mindset as we go through the liturgy here. If you will read with me the dark and bold print, and I will read the other. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him. Church, do you love him? You're invited. Who earnestly repent of their sin. Do you repent of your sin, church? You're invited. And to seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you would, in your own silent prayer, just confess your sins before our holy and loving God. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. If you'll take your cup, on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me," if you will partake of the bread. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me," if you will partake. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Church, you, through the grace of Jesus, through his blood, the temple is torn. You are a walking, talking, living temple of God. Let's pray. Father, we are humbled, and we are grateful that you have paid the price for us, that we are indeed bought at a price. We are not our own. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for that, and we are forever grateful. Inspire us, Lord, to bring you glory, to honor you with all we do. And Father, if there are those this morning that don't have that peace that comes through your Holy Spirit, if they don't have that peace, I pray that you would come upon them right now. You would give them that peace, that they would ask and you would give and they would receive your Holy Spirit. Fill us. Fill us to overflowing. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we close, I invite you to stand if you're able. And again, I will be out in the foyer. We'd love to meet our guests. And if you don't have that peace, if you don't know that Holy Spirit that I'm talking about, please don't leave this place. I was telling the early service that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but the problem is we leak. We leak. And we need to be filled. It's not a once and done thing. We need to be filled and filled and filled and filled. As we close.
to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
You can take your dispose of your little canister, and there'll be trash cans as you leave. You are a living, breathing, walking, talking temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to go and tell somebody. We need to go and live it out. Yes? Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him. For he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.